This past week's Iowa caucus gave cause to those against Donald Trump to look at the results superficially and declare it, in their minds, a loss, which, in their opinion, will drop his momentum and inch him toward the exit. And when you look at the details of the Iowa results in 402 New Hampshire and elsewhere, does that analysis actually hold true? Here to look back at Iowa, ahead to Tuesday's New Hampshire primary, is a contributing editor with the American Spectator, CNN political commentator, author of the best-selling book, What America Needs, The Case for Trump, Jeffrey Lord. Good morning, Jeffrey.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good to have you back here at spectator.org on the website. And, well, like I said in the intro, superficially, the Trump haters, Cruz campaign, Rubio campaign, but really all the other campaigns on the GOP side are calling it a loss for Trump in Iowa. Is there any element of Iowa that was actually a win for Donald Trump?
Well, first of all, I am just amazed that this is, he comes in second by a handful of votes and he supposedly lost. I mean, he's a businessman who's never run for office in his life. He was told not to go into Iowa because it wasn't his kind of turf. And he gets there and does extremely well, getting more votes in second place than some of the previous winners have gotten in first place. That's number one. Number two, at the end, this isn't getting a lot of attention at the moment, but we will be giving more attention to it over time. This is not about wins and caucuses and primaries. This is about delegates to the convention. And he got one delegate less than Ted Cruz. I think Cruz, at least as I understood it the other night when everything was just about counted, Cruz had won 8 delegates and Trump had won 7.
Right, and Rubio had 7, and I think Carson got 1.
Yeah, right. So you know, that is where the battle ultimately is going to be fought. And there will be more delegates after New Hampshire, and every state has different rules. I mean, my home state here is Pennsylvania, and the way we do it is there's, in essence, two things going on simultaneously. There is the primary, which, you know, if this battle is still going on, somebody will win, somebody will lose. But to win the primary in Pennsylvania means essentially nothing. It's a beauty contest. The real fight is with in the different congressional districts where they battle over the delegates. And the delegates, candidates in Pennsylvania, it just, your name is on, you're just as Joe Smith. It doesn't say Joe Smith, Trump, Joe Smith, Rubio, Joe Smith, Cruz. So unless people know who that guy is, who Joe Smith is, they vote for the first or second person on the ballot because they don't know anybody. And so there's a whole different battle that's going on underneath the radar here, but actually that's the most important radar. Well, there's 50 different state versions of this. You know, every state is different, and Iowa does theirs with all this caucus routine. And so that's where we need to be focusing here as time goes on, because that's the ultimate battle. And once you get to X number of delegates nationwide, it's going to be mathematically impossible for your opponents to catch up. So at this moment, Ted Cruz has a lead of one vote.
And one of the demographics I think worthy of looking back to Iowa for is the evangelical vote, because that was supposed to be Ted Cruz's wheelhouse. But the last numbers I saw, which I think were that proverbial 99.9% in, Cruz had around 29% of the evangelicals. Trump had 24.4%. So that's
right.
Not exactly a mandate for Cruz.
That's right. And, you know, one of the things that applies to evangelicals and, frankly, applies to every different sort of category out there, people are individuals, right? I mean, they're not cartoon characters. And are there evangelicals who vote, you know, in terms of their perception of the Bible and their faith? Sure. But there are plenty of evangelicals out there who vote like a lot of other Americans because they are, you know, they've got mortgages to pay. They're concerned about the economy. They've got to educate their kids. They're concerned about ISIS. I mean, these are real human beings here. They're not cartoon characters. So a lot of them did vote for Donald Trump precisely because his view on the issues appealed to them.
Oh, Jeffrey Lord, who is contributing editor with the American Spectator, CNN political commentator. His book is What America Needs, The Case for Trump, spectator.org. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And I guess as we move into New Hampshire, we have to look, and if you want to learn about the importance of New Hampshire versus winning in Iowa, I guess we'd have to ask President Huckabee and President Santorum.
That's right. That's right. Ronald Reagan famously lost the Iowa caucuses to George H.W. Bush and then went on to win New Hampshire, and still managed to lose four different states after that to Bush. And that battle went on, I believe, until about May of 1980. So, you know, winning the Iowa caucus in and of itself, or losing the Iowa caucus in and of itself, doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot. You know, it gives you a burst of publicity if you win, but it doesn't guarantee anything. So, you know, this battle, I think, is going to go on, could go on for a while. If Donald Trump wins New Hampshire and then goes on to win South Carolina, then it's going to become increasingly difficult to upend him. But if you noticed the other day, he, with all this focus on New Hampshire, he was in Arkansas to give a speech. Well, there's a reason for that, and that's the upcoming, what they call, I guess, the SEC primaries, that, you know, take in a good bit of the South, and that is going to be, you know, on the block sometime down the road. So he's already thinking ahead to that, which is what you have to do.
Well, that's the difference between, because Cruz apparently spent over a year doing the, almost what Santorum did, go to every single district in county in Iowa. And as you pointed out, Trump is playing the chess game. He's looking 3-4 moves ahead.
Right, right. Which is what you have to do. I mean, Iowa can give you this wonderful burst, but you've got to have the organization and the ability to carry on well beyond that. And, you know, there's going to be a whole lot of issues here. You know, one of the concerns I think that some people have with Rubio is this Gang of Eight business that he participated in when he was first in the Senate. And there's some concern that immigration is to Marco Rubio what the whole Obamacare issue was to Mitt Romney, because Romney had pioneered so-called Romney Care, which turned out to be in Massachusetts while he was governor, which turned out to be the godfather, if you will, to Obamacare. And so effectively it took the whole Obamacare issue off the table when Romney was the nominee. And there is a feeling here that immigration is illegal immigration is that same kind of issue with Marco Rubio, that since he participated in the Gang of Nine, or Gang of Eight rather, that he's not really in a good position to use the immigration issue, which is a big deal with a lot of Americans. That I think has been part of the reason for Donald Trump's popularity in the polls.
Talking with Jeffrey Lord, who's a contributing editor with the American Spectator. He's a CNN political commentator. His book is What America Needs, The Case for Trump, at spectator.org for the American Spectator. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. There are those who argue that Trump is not a, by definition, conservative. There are those who say, with almost the old Reagan rule, well, I can go with about 70-80% of what he says, so that works for me. And I'm hearing this increase in the term, he's a populist. Are we seeing, like, if you take the Tea Party and conservatism together, you wind up with a populist?
Well, I think he is a populist to some extent. My old boss, Jack Kemp, thought of himself as a populist to some degree. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, Donald Trump is most assuredly a conservative when it comes to issues like abortion, certainly on foreign policy. I mean,
yeah.
When, you know, Reagan's formulation for the Cold War, to the horror of moderates of the day, was we win, they lose. Donald Trump's saltier version of this with ISIS is that we'll kick the, you know, S word out of them.
Yeah.
It's the same philosophy. You know, if you're at war, if you're in a war with people, you win it. You know, don't sit around and think of 1,700 reasons why you can't do this and why you can't do that. Go win the thing. And you know, this is a really serious situation with ISIS. I mean, they now have a physical base over there in the Middle East. And, you know, I went back and took a look at the Nazis in the 1920s, and there's a picture of Adolf Hitler with a group of his colleagues, if you will. And there's about, I don't know, 20, 25 people in the picture. And this is somewhere in the early 1920s. And nobody took them seriously. And, you know, what a mistake. What a huge mistake. I mean, they eventually became the greatest military force in all of Europe and threatened the entire world. you nip this stuff in the bud. You don't let it grow to a point where you then require all these massive resources to undo it. Now is the time to get on with this. I mean, these people are brutal. They're beheading Christians, going after Jews, going after Muslims. So now is the time, and I think Trump has got exactly the right formulation here.
As opposed to Obama, who dismissed ISIS as the JV team of terrorism.
That's exactly right.
Well, what Jeffrey does, if you are just getting into the show that is the political primary system, he presents the ideas that Trump has expounded on, and using the facts and the track record of Trump's life professionally, from everything from dealing with debt to economics to taxes to foreign affairs. There's a great quote from one of Trump's previous books about how he foresaw the threat that was going to be Osama bin Laden than most in Washington did. And in spite of the claims of the many who say that Trump has pipe bombs and no detailed ideas, well, Jeffrey shares with you, if you haven't visited the Trump website already, Trump's detailed white paper plans, some of them 10 or more pages, about the various topics, immigration, trade with China, veterans, the Second Amendment, and tax reform. The book is What America Needs, The Case for Trump. He is a contributing editor of The American Spectator, CNN political commentator as well. Jeffrey Lord, thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me.